to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 933 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another fun episode lined up for us. In today's episode, I'm going to answer grow questions, and I'm going to try to focus on breeding-specific questions. If you sent me a grow question, yours could be right here in this stack, so stay tuned. We'll talk about those in just a second. Before I get too far, let me remind you about Eyrie Direct. That's right, make sure you go check Eyrie Direct for restocks of some of your favorite products and also fresh drops of some of the newest stuff that I've just put out. Make sure you go check Eyrie Direct now for current pricing and inventory. That's enough advertising. Eyrie Direct, go check it out. Now, let's jump into everybody's favorite part of the podcast. That, of course, is the question and answer portion of the show. I do have a bunch of questions here in front of me that came from the Grow Help tab. If you want to find that Grow Help tab, make sure you check Eyrie Genetics. There is a Grow Help tab there. Send me those questions. If I read your questions here on the show, I will send you a coupon code for a free prize from Eyrie Direct. I know that sounds confusing. I've got to be careful with what I say here on YouTube. Today's first question came from somebody who wants to be called Tony Scorpio. Big shout out to Tony Scorpio. Make sure you check your inbox, my dude. You've got a coupon code for a free prize from Eyrie Direct. The question says, hey, bro, I hope this message finds you well. It's made it to me great so far. My question today is about your method of breeding in solo cups. I'm pretty sure I've heard you mention this for small grows. When you do this, are you using cocoa or living soil? What kind of inputs, among other techniques, are you using to keep breeding plants healthy growing in solo cups? This is a fun question. Are you treating the male and females the same as far as feedings? Thank you for the knowledge and opinions. I look forward to listening to your next episodes. Tony, this is a great question. I'm glad this one landed right here on the top of the pile. This was not planned. This is a fun question to talk about. So Tony wants to know about breeding in solo cups. I've talked about breeding plants to make seeds for your personal use in solo cups. Let me start off by saying I've gotten away from the solo cups, and I now use 4x4 square pots or 6-inch net pots. Why do I do that? Simply because those solo cups fall over way too much. I needed something more stable. That's really the only reason I made the switch. So I'm either using 6-inch net pots. They're 6-inch pots. They're heavily vented. The soil will fall right through it if you don't pack it in there. The cocoa will fall through if you don't pack it in kind of tight, a little bit snug. But I'm using either the 6-inch net pots or the 4-inch square pots. Sometimes a 6-inch square pot, but I prefer the 4 inches. They just work better for what I'm doing for the short runs. So the first thing I'm doing is getting away from those cups. The cups are great if you pack enough into the tray to hold them upright. Sometimes I would cull a plant or pull a plant out for some reason or not fill the tray. Excuse me for all that. Not even going to edit that. I don't know what's going on with my voice. Sometimes I would take a plant out and not have a full tray, and then those plants would topple over and it would create fucking havoc in there. So I like the more stable pots. The first adjustment from this whole question is let's just move to more conventional pots. 4s or 6s are going to be fine. Then you're saying, are you using cocoa or living soil? Sometimes cocoa, sometimes, what is it? Soilless mix, like a Fox Farms or a Roots Organic or a 707. Basically anything at the grow store that is basically affordable and available. My local grow shop, for a little while, they were struggling to have enough soil to supply the area. So sometimes whatever they had in stock is what I would buy. I can work with anything. Kind of in my opinion, the soilless mix, the substrate is just something for that plant to exist in. After a few feedings, you've washed everything out. You just need something acceptable, like loamy and fluffy and tight enough to hold those roots happily. That's all I really need. You can do this in cocoa. You're going to need to water more frequently. You can do it in living soil. However, I'm not a living soil grower. I think bigger pots are better with living soil. So if you're going to do this, do it in cocoa or do it with a soilless mix is what I would recommend. What kind of inputs, among other techniques, are you using to keep the breeding plants healthy? I'm basically feeding them an early flowering mix most of the entire run. So they get veg nutrients. When we switch to flower, I'll keep that veg bottle in there for a couple of weeks because I want to keep the nitrogen coming to these plants. I don't want to short them of nitrogen. We're going to seed them. We're not making buds. So I'm going to keep the veg nutrients going for a couple of weeks, and then I'll switch just that flowering nutrient, just the bloom bottle, and I'm going to keep feeding that. But I'm not going to focus as much on like bloom boosters and shit. I don't need big old buds this time. I'm focusing on seeds. So I'm going to give it the base nutrient. I'm going to give it a little bit of fulvic acid, a little bit of liquid karma, just because that makes plants real happy. That prevents problems, makes them grow, makes them vigorous, makes the roots happy. A little bit of CalMag. And then once pollination has occurred, I'll start adding in a little bit of amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of life. Why not add these amino acids to our seeds and get these plants healthy and happy, the seeds healthy and happy at the beginning? I'm going to take a little sip here, fix this voice, and we're going to continue on. I like this question. So I'm using the 4 or 6 inch net pots, using either soilless mix or cocoa, not usually a living soil guy. If I'm using cocoa, so in both of these situations, let me touch on this. In both of these situations, most of the time, I'm doing like a sip sort of a setup, a lazy man's sip, a sub-irrigated planter sort of a situation. I will put all of these plants in my 4-inch pots or 6-inch net pots into a tray. Just a tray. It could be any kind of tray, any kind of receptacle that will contain these plants with a high enough wall to put a little bit of water in there. That's really all we need. They sell these beautiful Sterlite trays at all the shops, Walmart, Kmart, Target, wherever you go, the plastic store, the container store. They've all got these containers. They're made to slide under your bed. You're supposed to put clothing or whatever in there and slide it under your bed for storage. They make perfect trays for little breeding projects. They fit in the grow tents perfectly. But I take all the pots and I put them into the tray. Kombucha burp, excuse me, not even going to edit. That happened. That was real. Put all those pots into the tray, and then I water the tray. Depending on the size and health of the plants, that's how deep I determine to water that tray. If the plants are just kind of getting going, I water the tray a little less so they can absorb enough water and then dry down. I want them to not be submerged for too long, but I want them to be saturated. Once the roots get a little bit bigger, I'm more comfortable just pouring in more water to buy myself more time between waterings. If you're doing this with cocoa, you're going to need to do it more frequently. If you're doing it with the soilless mix, you can get away with it less often. That's going to depend on how many plants are in the tray, how fucking big the plants are, how much light, the VPD. All of that is going to be a factor on how often you feed. So I'm feeding base nutrients. I don't need all the bloom nutrients. I'm feeding a base nutrient, a basic veg mix through veg. And then when I switch, I'm not going right to the bloom bottle. I'm going, keeping that veg bottle for a couple of weeks, and I'm not going to focus so much on producing big fat buds. I want to make seeds. So I think about the things that build the life of the seed. I'll use that bloom nutrient to give me my base nutrients, my NPK in there. And then I want to get a little bit extra calcium in there, a little extra CalMag to build that plant a little healthier. And then I want to give it a little bit of liquid aminos. That's basically, I keep the roots healthy. I give it fulvic acid. I just take care of it. That's basically what I'm doing at this point. I will clean up some leaf. I'll clean up some off the bottoms of these plants to try to give my, if I'm doing these small pots, I usually want just one good size cola. So I'll take off a bunch of the shit off the bottom if there's excess stuff. Then are you treating the male and females the same as far as feedings? Essentially, yes. Essentially. The male, he gets the leftover feedings of the room. When the females get watered, if there's not enough to water him, I'll fucking mix water in there and just give him the diluted mix. He's going to do just fine. The male is in go mode. Once he gets that boner and starts going, he's going, dude. Don't worry. Then something we should talk about is timing. With this project, are you going to create regular or feminized seeds? If you're going to make regs, you can just put everything in the tent and put it into flower, your males and your females, and it's going to happen. They will get the boogie going. It may be ideal if you staggered your male and your female from flowering time when they start. It may help, but if you put them in there all at the same time, you're going to make plenty of seeds. This is just a personal project. You're going to get plenty of seeds out there. Now, if you're doing a reversal, if you're making feminized seeds, we need to treat the pollen donor 2 to 3 weeks before we put the girl plants into flower. So you need a place where you can get that dude in flower ahead of time. We need to treat him and it depends on the plant. We're going to spray them down. We're going to do whichever SOP we choose. If we use the Elite X, if we use silver thiosulfate, if we use an anhydrous mix, however you choose to do it, start spray that plant down. And then when you see that that plant is starting to reverse, when you see the anther starting to form, that's when I put the girls into flower. So that's a timing tip for you if you're making FEMS. I feel like there was something I was going to add earlier and I got sidetracked and was thinking too many thoughts. It was about feeding. Let's see, are you using cocoa, living soil? What kind of inputs? I feel like I got cut off when I was going to talk about the inputs. The secret is amino acids, base nutrients. You don't need to feed them too much crazy shit. I don't remember what I was going to say. I know that's where it was. There's always one of these in every episode. Maybe it'll come to me. But keep them healthy. Give them a good IPM right before they're fucking going to go into flower. Make sure they're clean. Make sure they're healthy. Make sure there's no bugs on them. And then flip them at the right time. And then once you're sure that that pollination has happened, once all the pistils are withered up in there and everybody's happy, go ahead and turn your light timer back on to 18 hours on and 6 hours off. That sounds like fucking complete madness, but if you haven't been following along for a long time, that's how I make my seeds. I've got very successful seeds. They come out very well. They happen very quickly. They're fat. They're robust. They're healthy. They have a high germination rate. They make vigorous plants. Why do I turn my timer to 18.6 after pollination? That's a very good question. I'm glad that you asked. You see, what happened was, in my experience, I learned, and I also learned this from other people. I think Colin Gordon may be the one that taught me this. What I think is light is the number one source of energy for our plants. The sun, the light, that's what fuels everything in the plants. It tells them when they're awake, when they're asleep, which process within the plant to do, when to photosynthesize, when to chill out. It makes everything happen. So it makes all the energy happen. It gives the plants energy to photosynthesize. That light is what happens, what makes that. If I give it 50% more light per day, I'm getting 50% more growth and more energy out of that plant. In my theory, in my opinion, I'm taking that 6 hours every day extra and cutting it off of the end of the equation. So every day I can cut 6 hours off my flowering time. So over 4 days, I cut off one full day of flowering. That doesn't sound like a lot of time, but if you're a seed breeder, if you're a home grower and you're trying to speed stuff up and you want to get one more crop out of the year and fill one more crop, you can get, if you run 63-day cycles in flowering, you can get 5.7 crops per year in one room. Imagine if I could chop it down just a little bit of time and pull six full crops. I'm a crop ahead of everybody else. If you're a cash cropper, I'm making a full another crop worth of money. If you're a medical grower, you're making a whole another crop worth of medicine. So if you can speed things up by switching the timer, and this will work with your non-seeded plants. Do this for the last 10 days of your non-seeded plants, and it will work. But in my experience, in my idea, that 6 hours is half a quarter of a day worth of light that you're adding that comes off at the end. You got to put this much light into that plant, and you've already done it. And so you're just cutting off a quarter of a day every single day. Every 4 days, you cut off a day. So that will add up eventually. You're still paying for the electricity. You're just going longer now, but you can run more crops. And I think it makes better, healthier, fatter, more robust seeds. And there's another upside to this. If you should choose to re-veg these plants, you're way ahead of yourself. You're already on 18.6. They're going to re-veg. Now, people are going to freak out. What about my buds? My buds look like shit. Yeah, they do. They look terrible. They look crazy. They're foxtail-y. They're fingery. They're starting to re-veg. They got weird shoots growing out. But guess what? Nobody cares. We're not growing for buds. We are growing for seed this time. It's all about making healthy seeds. So you got a bunch of little tiny plants in little tiny pots that are re-vegging. Now you can get clones off of those and run your plants again. You didn't even have to take clones. Now you got seeds and clones off of the same plant. How wild is this plant? Let me review here and make sure I answered everything. I apologize that one detail got away. I know it did when I'm editing, if I even edit this. If it comes to my mind, I will add it to the next episode and let you know what I was thinking. It was something to do with the feed. I just feed them basic veg nutrients. And then I was probably going to talk about sip feeding them. I just fucking feed the container. I just flood that container was probably what I wanted to make sure to tell you. So a question is about method of breeding in solo cups, switch up to bigger pots, using cocoa. Cocoa works. Soilless, works real well. what inputs, add that fucking amino acids, techniques, clean shit up, keep them small, keep them clean, keep a fan on them, healthy and growing in solo cups, treating the male and females the same. Basically, yes, the male doesn't need as much fancy feeding. It's just going to donate pollen and get chopped. So that dude's going to just donate his pollen and get chopped and get out of there. So treat him like a pollen donor. That's all you need him around for. Get that stuff and then get rid of him. And then the other thing to think about is timing, of course. Do you want to make regulars or fems? If you're making fems, you do need 2 or 3 weeks ahead time with your reversals, which means you need a space to keep that plant in 12 hours of darkness every day consistently to make that plant begin to flower. If you're just making regs, it would be ideal to get the girls ahead and then put that dude in there to have them nice and fluffy when he starts busting. But if you put them all in there at the same time, it'll work. Over time, if you keep breeding, you'll learn which plants want pollen when, but it's not that critical if you're making a few seeds for yourself. All right, I think I've rambled on long enough about this question. My buddy Tony Scorpio, make sure you check your inbox, my dude. You've got a coupon code for a free prize at Irie Direct. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, if you feel like this episode has been worth your time, go ahead and click subscribe, click like. That way you get a notification every time my episodes do pop up. Let's keep this party moving. This one came from Killer Sativa. Shout out to my new friend, Killer Sativa. I like the name. Who doesn't love a Killer Sativa? Some of you guys are scared of a good sativa out there. Don't be scared, bro. Go deep. Go into that murky water. Go learn about yourself. I took some dabs and drank some caffeine. Shout out to those two things. This one says, hey, Rasta Jeff, thank you for all of the Ask Me Anythings. Bro, thank you. I miss those. I used to go on Instagram Live and just let people ask me questions for an hour and answer anything that they would ask. I kind of miss Instagram Live. Also, it's nice to take a break. Instagram shut down every account that I make now. They just shut me down. I even bought a new phone, but they know something, bro, because every time I create an account, I get like just past making it, and they go, and they shut me down. So no more Instagram for me. Here we go. What are your thoughts on triploids, and what situation besides gatekeeping a genetics progeny would you think these are useful? I've not done much research yet, but I would think a triploid still produces seeds if pollinated, but they will be sterile and will not germinate. No. So let's talk about this really quickly. Also, Killer Sativa, check your inbox for that free prize. Triploids. How do I explain this? This is a good, fun question, but it's going to take a little bit here. A triploid. Triploid is basically a breeding project by using certain ploidal parents that will give you offspring that cannot be pollinated. The Mac, I suspect, is a triploid. You can throw pollen on that bad motherfucker. So if I took a one other plant and the Mac, and they're the same size, we'll say they're as tall as my arm, and I get a bucket of pollen and just dump it in the room, the Mac will make about 5 seeds, 5 of them. Just because it's a triploid, it doesn't make seeds. That's the trait of a triploid. And then the other plant is going to make 1,000 seeds. That's what a triploid does. It is very resistant to being bred with pollen. So other than gatekeeping, why would this be useful? Well, just think about it right now. We are in the hemp and cannabis cultivation revolution. I'm here in Colorado. We're a bit ahead of the game. We're bored with it by now, but every day there's a new state coming on, new areas legalizing ganja growing. Think about all of the people outdoors this summer that bought seeds that do not know how to find a male plant. Think about how many gardens out there right now. It's going to make you cringe. There's a male plant getting ready to bust all over everybody's garden for miles. So people that are growing hemp or cannabis or whatever you want to call it out there, they're growing right now and they don't know that there's a male plant 2 miles away that's about to bust and contaminate and seed their entire run. They think they're going to have a nice scentsy crop. Guess what? They're not. They're going to get to harvest. They're going to go WTF. There's so many seeds in here. But guess what? If it was a triploid, no seeds. There would not be seeds in it. You could throw that. There might be a couple, maybe a few, but not enough to make it detrimental and destroy the crop like it would be if you just forgot a male and let him bust and he went and hit your normal crop. That would pollinate everything. The triploids, you might get a couple of seeds. So that's the reason behind that, because right now there's a lot of new hemp growers, there's a lot of new ganja growers, and not everybody is on top of finding their males. There are fucking closet breeders. There are beginner greenhouse breeders everywhere. How do you know there's not some? How do you know I don't live in your neighborhood and I'm not growing outside, pollinating the entire fucking neighborhood, and you have a rise crosses in your grow right now? How do you know that didn't happen? So that's the advantage and benefit of the triploids. Let me keep reading. It says, I've not done much research. I'll correct you. It's okay. I would think you're wrong. A triploid still produces seeds. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It just doesn't make them. The pistils get hit by pollen and it just doesn't work. I was going to make a, yeah, the pistils hit the pollen and nothing happens. The process doesn't complete. It just doesn't have the mechanism to create those seeds. So the main reason to do it is because you can have lazy neighbors, you can have hemp growers, you can have ganja farmers, you could grow outdoors and not have to stress about getting that seeded crop. There are actually genetics companies out there right now focusing on selling triploid genetics to prevent the seeds from happening outdoors, which sounds crazy, but it's a thing that the industry has created a need for. And whenever there's a need, this industry will fill that need. All right, my friend Killer Sativa, thank you for letting me ramble about that question. We still have time for more. If you have not already done so, click like, click subscribe. You know how it goes. And if you want to support the show, make sure you check patreon.com/growfromyourheart. If you want to help us out, all you have to do is go check out patreon.com. Everything you need to know will be right there. Let's keep this party going. This one came from Wes. Shout out to Wes. Hey, Wes, check your inbox, dude. You got a free prize coming your direction. The question says, say you're hunting a new pack of seeds. All right, we bought a pack of seeds. We opened them up. We germinated them. We're growing them. We are on the hunt. What are some of the things you look for in a good mother plant? You're not going to like my answer, but I'm going to help you out. Also, once you have a good keeper, let's get stuck with one question here, and then we'll do the also after this. Oh, some things you look for in a good mother plant. What do you like to smoke? What do you like to grow? Oftentimes what sucks about a good plant is the grower and the smoker have a completely different experience. The weed that the grower goes, this is fire, I want more of this. The grower goes, that was the worst fucking plant to ever grow. It was a struggle. I had nutrient deficiencies all the way through. It climbed up into the fucking lights. It gave me a problem. That's always the best one to smoke. So it's kind of, you got to find the one, finding the mother plant. The reason I said you're not going to like my answer is because it's a lot like finding a companion. It's like finding a partner, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a fucking alien, if that's what you're into, a fucking dolphin in a wheelchair, if that's what you're seeking at these times. You don't want me to pick your mother plant. Run a pack of seeds. Look at them. See what they do. There's going to be one in there. There's probably going to be two, maybe three in that pack that you go, ooh la la. One of them is going to be the tasty one, the fucking great smoking one. It's probably going to be a pain in the ass to grow. The other one's going to be a little easier to grow and bangs out a whole bunch of weight, but isn't as good as the other one. That's always the way it fucking goes. There's two to decide from all the time. It's okay to keep both of them. But the way to do it is grow them. Grow them. So take a pack of seeds, the whole pack, germinate all of them, pull out your boys, unless you want those, and now you got some girls to work with. I would feed all of those girls the same. Treat all of them the same. Don't do anything different to any of them. Same soil, same pot size. I know they're going to be in different spots in the room, but try to give them equal amounts of light, equal amounts of airflow, and watch and observe. See which one gets your attention. One's going to suck to grow. That might be, if you hate growing it, you might want to get rid of it, although it might be the best smoke. Keep an eye on them. Then harvest them all. Treat them all the same. Dry, cure, respect all of them. Then keep them labeled. That's the most important part. Keep them labeled. Plant A through whatever number you got. Keep them labeled. Then smoke them. The most important part is the consumer. Who's going to smoke it? Is it you? Do you have a clientele? Do you have a patient? Is it your girlfriend? Who are you smoking it with? Which one do they like the most? Which jar is empty first? That's probably your keeper plant. But the idea of keeping a keeper is find the one that you like. Does it work, first of all, for your grow? You have to grow it. Does it fit in your grow? Does it get real tall? Do you have a grow tent? Does it stretch up like a fishing pole? If so, that might not be the plant for you. Does it grow the way you grow? Does it work for your environment, your situation? Does it smoke the way that you need it to smoke? Does it provide the relief, or does it pay the bills the way that you need it to do so? Find that plant. And it might not be in every pack. I like to think there's a keeper in every pack of seeds that I give you or sell to you, but it might not be there. You might not find the one. Don't be afraid. If it's not there, keep looking. Maybe keep the best one out of that pack and run another pack and see what compares. And then keep the best one out of those two and keep that process going. I'm still doing that. Since I've started growing, that's still what I'm doing. If I just grew some seeds lately, I can keep so many plants. I grew some seeds and I found a cut of Alfredo that I thought was fire. I had to cut down something else. It's like it's a bracket system. Like, well, who are my top fucking 10 right now? That's who I get to keep. And if another better, badder motherfucker comes in the room, the number 10 gets cut and there's a new top 10. You know, that's the way it goes. So grow them, smoke them, find the one that you like, the one that works in the room and works in the bong the best. That's your mother plant. That's how you find that. What do I look for? A vigorous plant that doesn't give me a lot of bullshit, that finishes in a decent time, that doesn't deal with a lot of bugs or pest problems, that doesn't get powdery mildew, that doesn't need to be overfed, a non-finicky, non-headachy fucking plant that grows well, that harvests well, that gives me the flavor, aroma, and experience that I need. That's the one I'm looking for. And it's going to vary for everybody. What do you want? Go get it. Like if I told you, here's your mother plant, you'd be mad at me. Like, that's not the one. Find the one for you is the best way to do it. That's one of the funnest parts of growing, is finding your phenotype, doing the hunt. Now let's get to the also. Once you have a good keeper, what are some things you do to keep her happy for a long term? Do you keep her size down and to keep the size down until you want clones? Does your keeper sit in a 5-gallon or smaller? Sorry if these are stupid questions. Bro, no stupid questions. These are great questions. Last, do you put the same amount of thought into picking them? Okay, that's going to be another topic. We'll get to that. Once you have a good keeper, what are some things you do to keep her happy? I keep them in 3 to 5-gallon pots. I clean up all the bottoms. I top them and make them little bushes. That way they produce enough clones that I need often enough. My mother plants are kept on an auto water system. They come on and they water a little bit every day. I know how much they need, how long that has to work. Just keep the bombs on an auto water. The AC Infinity makes that fucking do that, basically. So sometimes they're in 3s, sometimes they're in 5s. I keep them under 19 hours on and 5 hours off of lighting. Why do I do that? That's weird, right? 18.6 should be cool. Sometimes some sativa dominant plants will get a little crazy. They'll get caught speeding and they'll go into flower a little bit early if they get a little bit root bound in a smaller pot and are not getting 19 hours of light. So I just increase that light in an attempt to buy myself some time and not let some of those more sativa dominant varietals go into flower early on me. I like that 5 hours of darkness. It lets my equipment take a rest. It lets the lights have the darks, or the plants have the dark cycle. It lets the room cool down. I think it's beneficial to have a dark cycle, but just the 5 hours, so those plants never have a chance to go into flower. So I'm keeping them in 3 to 5s. I'm feeding them. What am I feeding them? Basic vegetative nutrients. Nothing too crazy, because I don't want them to grow too fast and too vigorously, but I need to keep them healthy and strong. I give them enough light to keep them compact and strong, but not enough light to make them grow super fucking vigorously. I'll keep the LEDs about 60% for the moms. We just want to keep them in veg and keep them alive. We're not trying to veg them and make them fucking super plants. And you don't want to fight all that heat for mom plants either. So I'm keeping them in 3 to 5s, feeding them decently, mostly veg nutrients. Keep them bug free. Spray the fuck out of them. The mother plants are the most important. This is where everything comes from. They're not in flower. There's no buds. There's no seeds. We can treat these. Spray the fuck out of them. Keep them clean. I don't know if you're going to spray. I do this. I spray the shit out of these plants every Monday, no matter what. And if I've been somewhere else where I'm questionable, I'll add Thursdays in there for the spray routine also. I've got a nice pesticide rotation. I got a bunch of bottles I switch through. I apply 2 or 3 different products at a time. Keep your mother plants clean and healthy. Don't fuck up the mother room. This is where it all starts. Spray them, rotate them. IPM is important. Hang up some yellow sticky traps in there so you can see if you're getting some pests coming around. If you see an increase of bugs on the yellow stickies, take action right away. Five smaller pots, 3 to 5 gallons. And then what I do is I run these plants about every 3 to 6 months, depending on the plant and how my life is going. They're going to get a little tired. They're going to outgrow these pots and need to be changed. I will then fill cloners with a bunch of clones of everything, and then I pick my favorite clone of everything, and that becomes my new mother plant. So I just clone everybody. I label it real well. So I got strawberry, bananas, and oranges. I clone all of those. And then when it comes time, I go through the list. Strawberry, here's the best one. Oranges, here's the best one. And those become my new mother plants. So I'm just perpetually cloning, sometimes two or three times a year, to keep those mother plants healthy and not overgrown and out of control. The next part. Last, do you put the same amount of thought into picking a male as you do a female? Do you have a different set of standards? Yes. I'm not going to go all the way into this. This will be a future episode, but this is a good cliffhanger, a good way to tease you. Think about it this way. When I'm breeding, the male plant is going to be pollinating all of the females. So I'm way more picky about the male. The female I can fuck up with because there's going to be another female and another female and another female getting that pollen. The male, I've got to get it right because that's going into everything. That is the main ingredient that's going to hit. Sometimes one, if I find a good male plant, he will pollinate 50 to 100 females over the course of his life. Not all in one run. He's not that cool of a guy, but he'll get to hit fucking, think of King Solomon. Think of Arise. He's made 150 offspring. Different progeny have come from King Solomon. Think of the reversed blueberry cookies. How many things I made with that? Think of the reversed golden goat. Think of Jack the Ripper. Think of all the stuff that I make. Once I find a winner, it makes 100 new things. So I need that male, that pollen donor, to be fucking stellar. My criteria for male selection is way more stringent, way more critical than my criteria for female selection. With that being said, don't get scared. Breed with love. Grow from your heart. Chuck some pollen. What the fuck could go wrong? You make some seeds. You're going to have fun growing them. Maybe they suck. Probably they're way better than what you started with. That's the way that breeding works. Most of the time we do improve. That's the whole goal, is to improve the species here when we're breeding. But don't be so scared. I know I make breeding and growing sound like it's fucking crazy and critical. Get in there and have fun and do it. Kill a couple of plants. That's how you learn the most. Make sure you're having fun. Make sure you grow with love. Make sure you breed from your heart. That's the most important part. All right, so I do put more time into picking the males than I do the females. I think I answered that. Do you have a different standard? Much more standards. Anyway, hope life is good and you have a fantastic day. Bro, life is amazing, bro. Life is so good lately, and the day has been epic. We're almost toward the end of the day here, so that means also it is time to wrap up the podcast. My buddy Wes, make sure you check your inbox, dude, because you've got a coupon code because you sent me a great question. Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, all of you beautiful pollen chuckers out there, thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. I look forward to seeing your comments in the comment section. Send me your feedback. Let me know what you think of the show. Cannot wait to hear from you. I look forward to seeing you in a week. I'll be back with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my friends at the 2B Blunt podcast. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me. Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and hug up on the back. Ross and Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug your mom, be relaxed. Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Ross and Jeff in our conscious tribe. Spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, pure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. Ooh.
the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up high.